Good morning. It's good to see you. Good to be together to worship God, to recall and thank God for all the abundant blessings that He gives us in the Son, to be able to reflect upon as the passage that Mason just read for us of the good blessings of God, that everything comes from His hand, and that in turn we His people are to give ourselves willingly. And we'll speak more to that point as we get to it in our lesson this morning. I'm going to add my word of welcome to the visitors. We appreciate that you're here. We hope that your stay with us will be edifying and encouraging for you as your presence is to us. And we hope that we can be of assistance in anything of a spiritual nature that we might be able to join together in the praise of God and the service of God in all things that He seeks from us, and that indeed He deserves all right worship in spirit and in truth, and all service that we honor Him with, not only at this time, but all the days of our lives. I'd like for us to study some today about being builders for God, being able to devote ourselves to the task of being workers together and building those things which God has ordained, that God wants us to be a part of in strengthening not only ourselves but those around us. Psalm 127 in verse 1 says, "Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." That we can build, we can be a watchman, but if we forget God, then ultimately and finally our effort is futile. God is to be the one who sanctions what we build, what we construct, whether it be our own lives, whether it be a local church, whether it be our family, whether it be the relationships that we have with others in the world, the values that we build within ourselves, whatever you might think of in this context of building, that as it relates to the will of God for our lives and in our lives, we have to seek His approval, His sanction. And so with that thought, this psalm from Solomon, who built the temple for God, and we'll come back to this point later, understood that the building project has to be God endorsed, God ordained, and God blessed, because otherwise, ultimately and finally, it will fall. God gives us a responsibility to build. I want us to think about ourselves this morning as builders. Just happened to see a little segment on Fox News this morning as my Sunday morning ritual. I get my coffee, I study my lesson, and then I catch about 5 minutes of Fox before I set out for the day. They had a segment on there about being a handyman, and I need that. Ask Devin. Tools that you need to be a good handyman. They had a tape measure, they said a hammer, had a portable drill. I wonder what they did before they had batteries and portable drills. They did it this way. I remember that. We had a hand drill. And a couple of other tools, wrench, pliers, you know. We need all these different tools to be a handyman. Well, God has given us tools, and this lesson is not so much about the tools per se, but I believe that we'll be able to find application to that concept. Because we want to look at what we're building, and in the course of that, we're going to see some of the things needed on our part, tools, if you will, that help us accomplish that. So I guess in a real way, this is talking about tools, but we won't be identifying tools so much as we will be identifying things within ourselves that are crucial if we're going to be builders for God. The passage in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 and 10 speaks to this, uses this kind of an illustration. The apostle does it, of course, as he is using himself and Apollos to teach the brethren about unity and being not carnal but spiritually minded. He says, "We are God's fellow workers. We don't say, well, I'm a Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm of Cephas. You know, Peter does his work, I do my work, Apollos does his work, and never the two meet. So we are fellow workers. We work together. You are God's field. You're the product of the work. You Corinthian Christians, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. And he goes on with that figure in his context. But our point of emphasis is, as the people of God here, and particularly as the church in Corinth, he says, you're God's building. You are built by and according to the truth of God, by the grace of God. And Paul said, I was a master builder. I was a wise master builder in preaching the gospel to you. I laid a foundation. Now that foundation is Christ, verse 11. Point. And he says, and he notes, there's going to be others who build on that foundation. But be careful how you build. That's really what we want to talk about. We need to be careful how we build. We need to know we are builders. And I want to suggest three areas of building, three types of buildings, if you will, that we want to make application on. Of course, first is the church. When in Acts 4, 11, 12, Peter, in preaching the gospel to his Jewish audience, said, and more particularly to the Sanhedrin Council, he said, this is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. There is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. You see, the religious leaders should have been builders for God, but instead they rejected the chief cornerstone. They rejected the very one from whom God's building and upon whom one's building was to be built. The church is built upon Christ, upon the truth revealed by the apostles of Christ, and it's so depicted in Ephesians chapter 2. And an application for us, just as the local church in Corinth was built by the preaching of the gospel and people believing it and obeying it, God adding them to His church, that local congregation was to be built upon the foundation of Christ and built in such a way that it would give honor to God. As they were being divisive among themselves, they were not bringing that honor to God. They were destroying God's building. One of the things we must be building is God's building, God's church, building it up. As the foundation has been laid, as in Ephesians 2, it talks about the bringing together of the Jews and the Gentiles into this one structure, this household of God. It's built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ is the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So now, you're the Christians being built together. And with Christ, the chief cornerstone, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that is the truth that they proclaimed, that we have revealed for us in Holy Scripture. And he says in that, we fit together. You and I, Christians, we fit together and form this temple of God, this house of God, this dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We'll be talking about building that up, what's necessary for building up the church. And in the same chapter, he'll go on to talk about, he uses the figure of a body, but he talks about building. He says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying or building up of itself in love. So now here's the building up of the body of Christ, when everyone is doing his and her part, as we speak the truth in love, as we are growing up and maturing in Christ, then we can effectively work and build up. And that's the call of the gospel to us and our place and part in edifying the body of Christ. Again, Paul would write, when you come together, Each one has a psalm, has a revelation. He talked about both the spiritual gifts and the things that were not miraculous. A psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. He said, let everything be done for edifying, for edification, for building up. We're to be builders for God rather than help build up the church in preaching the gospel to the lost, as well as building up this local congregation through that which we each supply as we grow and mature ourselves, and so supply the opportunities for strengthening, for edifying of one another. We're also to be building up ourselves. This calls upon a personal responsibility in Acts 20 and 32. Paul said, now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So, building the individual Christian up by the word of His grace, by the gospel. So we're to take the gospel and we're to grow. We're to build ourselves up. We're to be builders in that sense of ourselves. We're not to neglect the fact that we need to grow. That we as individuals need to give time and attention to our strength as Christians and getting stronger. Having being a building that gives honor to God. You know, in another verse, not on the chart, but Paul talks about our body is a temple of the Lord. How we use our body impacts whether or not we bring honor to Christ. And so the call of that context of that text, 1 Corinthians 6, is purity, moral purity, because our body is a temple of the Lord that we have from God, and we're not our own. Glorify God, therefore, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we build ourselves up in our relationship with God through Christ in His gospel. Again, Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, passage says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and grounded in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, even as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So we are taught to be rooted and built up in Him.
Built up. We do that by adding to our faith virtue, and our virtue knowledge, and our knowledge self-control. Self-control,
brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle or unfruitful. You see, we give attention to strengthening ourselves, building ourselves up into the image of Christ.
We're to be builders of our relations with others.
But you see this point too. In Romans 14, Romans the 14th chapter and the 19th verse, Paul would write, let us pursue the things that make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Pursue what makes for peace. Pursue the things by which one another is edified, built up. And this whole context is a consideration of the conscience of another and the respecting of the liberties of one another. That's his context. And so he makes the application. He says, to accomplish that, we have to pursue things that don't satisfy ourselves. That is, just to do what we want to do with a disregarding of others, but consider one another and pursue the things that build one another up, not tear one another down. Chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, you are strong not to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to what? Leading to building up.
Leading to edification.
Comfort one another with these words and edify. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. It says, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you're also doing. Now drop down to verse 14 and we learn some of what to be done. He said, 12, all the way through. that. He says, recognize those who labor over you and admonish you, esteem them highly in love for the work's sake, be at peace among yourselves, and then we exhort you, brethren, to warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient to all. Don't render evil for evil, but pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all.
Work on your relationships with one another in the body of Christ. Build it up. Don't build yourself up to the destruction of others, but consider the other before yourself. And so do the things that are
going to build and strengthen the relationship. That has application in our marriages.
That has application in our parent-child relationships. That has
application on the job. It has application among ourselves as the people of God. We're to be builders, and God wants us to be master builders. Like Paul said, Paul used wisdom and built wisely and was a master builder because, you see, the glory wouldn't go to God. Paul, it would go to God. And he would build in a way that would accomplish that.
Now, our lesson is to look at four different building projects in the Bible. We're just going to touch on these. But in each one of them, there's some lessons for us to learn about being builders. To build up the church, to build up ourselves, and to build up our relationships and strengthening them as God desires. First building project to note is Noah's Ark. God commanded Noah to build an ark. And the text says repeatedly that Noah was obedient. We've got to have an obedient heart if we're going to be builders. That's a primary and fundamental lesson about Noah. All that God commanded him, so he did.
To build up the church, to build up ourselves, to build up our relationships, we have to have a heart that is ready to yield ourselves. You see, obedience means we yield ourselves to the will of God. We subject ourselves willingly to accomplish His purposes. The cost is that we empty ourselves. We sacrifice ourselves. There is a cost of discipleship that must be paid. In fact, in Luke 14, when Jesus talks about counting the cost and paying the price to be a disciple of Christ, He said, we cannot be His disciple unless we put into a secondary position everything else. And in fact, he would go on to say in verse 33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple.
Noah forsook all that the world said and offered to
build this massive structure that God said, when you do it, I'll save you. Because I'm going to destroy the world and its sin. You see, if we don't build the church up, you think we'll go to heaven? If we're not people who are building up the church, think we'll go to heaven anyway? If we're not giving attention with an obedient heart to build up ourselves, think we'll go to heaven anyway? It really doesn't matter whether we're builders. And we don't really have to give attention to the relationships in our lives. That won't affect us being in God's ark of safety. Of course, we're deceiving ourselves if we think that way. You see, Noah, as God's builder, with an obedient heart, also faithfully endured. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And by it, condemned the world, as he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He had a faithful endurance. This massive vessel. Nothing like it seen before. Very few workers. Noah built the ark. He had three sons. We're not given a direct statement about that, but the implication is the sons were involved in some way. But very few workers. 100 years. Time would go on and on. But he stayed committed. The animals, while God would lead the animals, he would also be gathering the animals, and he was gathering food for the animals and himself. He was preaching righteousness all this while, and his message was rejected. People didn't repent, and yet he endured.
When we build and commit ourselves to be builders of the church of Christ, we're going to have to faithfully endure.
There's going to be people not going to listen to the message and reject it out of hand. There'll be others who say, "Oh, that work's too big, we can't do it," and will not roll up their sleeves and start working. There'll be others who won't endure to the end, and so will fall off by the wayside. To be builders of ourselves, we need a similar trait.
We need this on our tool belt, in our toolbox. Faithful endurance. Rome wasn't built in a day. The ark wasn't built in a day. You're not completed as a Christian in a day. But thanks be to God, who blesses us in Christ with the forgiveness, with the redemption from our past sin, and with the opportunity now to grow, to get stronger. You see, to work on our relationships. You see, in all of these, God provided deliverance to Noah, and
he'll bless the work of our hands when we have the faith to trust his grace and do the work of building, just like Noah did in building the ark.
Tabernacle was a building project that Israel undertook at Mount Sinai at the direction of God. And the fundamental point throughout that long text of Exodus 20 through 40, chapters 25 through 40, is God had a pattern. And God expected that pattern to be followed. And God was very detailed in giving that pattern.
And Israel was very careful, and Moses was to be sure that Israel was careful to do all things according to the pattern that God showed him on the mountain. When we build the church, we have to build the church according to God's pattern.
That's why it says, "Speaking the truth in love, let us grow up into all things into him who is our head, Christ." The church is not built up when error is taught. Numbers may grow, numbers may increase. We see that all through the county here. Large churches doing big things, but they're not building God's building because the pattern is not being followed. There's a message on the phone down there this morning from a local pastor wanting me to come and join them to have a planning meeting, bringing some fellow in for a citywide evangelism project next August. Some false teacher. Oh, I never heard of him before. Got a mailer about it a week or so back. Now, they're going to do a big work, big project. They want to build up the church, they say, but they're not going to be building anything because it's not going to be according to God's pattern. They're going to be building up a facade, a deception. People are going to be fooled by it, thinking they're serving God, that they have a place where God's going to dwell with them and they with God, and it's illusion.
Because it's false.
Because it's not according to the pattern of truth. If we're going to build up the church of Christ, it's got to be in truth. And it doesn't just go to the denomination. It goes to us who wear the name. Churches of Christ around this country that are not involved in scriptural things. They're doing things that are unauthorized without and against the pattern of God and His work and His worship.
We don't build up the church by doing things without Bible authority. We've got to build ourselves up
according to the pattern. We've got to be careful to go to the book, brethren. You want to get stronger spiritually? Go to God's book. Go to God's book. You'll get the answer there.
Commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Bless your heart. Max Lucado is not going to build you up in the most holy faith. He's going to lead you into a deception, into an error, into a false emphasis. Make your list. Charles Stanley. James Dobson. And on, I guess that list can go. Don't take it because Joe Price says it either. What anybody says, you take it to the book and build yourself up with the book, not the words of men. Build up your relationships the way Jesus did. Jesus was the example back there in Romans 15. You know, we read verses 1 and 2 that we ought to consider one another to edify and build up one another, even as Christ did. That was Paul's point. He said, just like Jesus, let us please his neighbor. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. As it's written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.
Jesus bore reproach to help us build up our relations according to the pattern God revealed. Something else about the building of the tabernacle.
Giving was essential. Time fails us to go at length into all of that. But there's a passage in several passages throughout that context. In Exodus 25, the first 8 verses, there is a good summary there of the offerings. Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, who shall take my offering. Or you shall receive, or you shall take my offering. Everyone who is of a willing heart. We're not going to be builders if we don't have a heart that is willing to give. Willing to give our time, our effort, our energies, ourselves. If we are not empathetic to the challenge, empathetic to the goal of building the church, of building up ourselves in Christ, of building up our relationships with others, we won't be builders.
I won't be believers. Exodus 34, he goes on, he makes the 35, he makes the same point. Take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. Our giving must be willing. Those things were given willingly to build the tabernacle. Well, we've got to give what is essential to build up the church.
That means we're going to need teachers. We're going to need people to pray. We need people to stand at the table and lead us to remember the Lord's death. We got to step up and step out and be a builder. Be one who's doing the work.
But it's got to come from a willing heart. You can't force anybody to do it. Because in the forcing, there's the removal of the heart.
A successful building of tabernacle came through their free will offerings, and so it will be with us. God loves a cheerful giver, but there's more to that passage.
I want you to see what happens when we are cheerful givers. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. And he's talking about giving to help needy saints in another place. But here's the principle at work. Let each one do his according to his purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. So we're talking about being a giver of ourselves to be builders. Here's the principle, though. Watch it. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
You see, when we are of a willing heart to be cheerful givers, God is able
to increase our ability and give us all that we need to do the work that's set before us. As it's written, he disperses abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness.
We cannot outgive God. If we will be willing givers from our hearts to give, to build up, and not to tear down,
God will bless that giving. And God will give us opportunity for even more to His glory and to His praise and honor. Very quickly, think with me about Solomon's temple. David made many preparations. He gathered gold and silver and bronze and wood and stone. He made elaborate preparations to build a house for God. And the text that we have on our chart says he did it because it was in his heart to do so. Again, without the heart to be a builder, we won't build. We won't make the preparations, nor will we give ourselves the task. But in this text, there's emphasis repeatedly that David, with all of his might, had a heart that made the preparations, and then, of course, his son would build the temple. We've got to prepare our hearts. We've got to prepare our lives with all of our might to be builders, builders for God. We do that by setting our mind on things above and not on things that are on the earth. For you die, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we've got to set our mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What's your mind on? What's your attention being given to? To God or to yourself? To God or to the world? Are you a diligent worker? Study or be diligent to show yourself approved to God, a worker that needs not to be ashamed? Rightly dividing the word of truth? Are you diligent in the use of the Word of God in your life? Do you expect to be a builder of the church if you don't know God's Word? Do you expect to build yourself up as a Christian if you don't take the Bible in hand and use it to improve yourself? Do you expect to improve the relationships around you, the people that you touch and touch you, without God in your life, without His Word directing you in the decisions that you make? We've got to prepare ourselves with the heart to be a diligent worker that remains diligent. I'm impressed that Paul, with all the great work that he did as an apostle, nearing the end of his life when he is in prison, and it's a point where he could have just said, I'm finished now, it's over. He said, I press on. Philippians 3, he said, I haven't yet attained. I'm not already attained that. He said, I press on. For therefore call the prize of God in Christ Jesus. Have we sat back and decided we've done enough? Or are we pressing forward? You see, we got to remember that we build for God and not men. We build for God. David said, the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. We don't build the church for ourselves. You don't build it up to bring honor or praise to each other, but to praise and honor God for the salvation of souls, for God's glory. That was Paul's point of emphasis to the Corinthians. We're God's fellow workers. God gets the glory. Keep Him and His will in our sight. Finally, before we close, the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah, in the first six chapters of his book, at length we learn about. If you haven't read about Nehemiah lately, or maybe for the first time, go to Nehemiah chapters 1 through 6 and read about this man of faith, this man of determination, this man who gave himself to a work, a great work of building, rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem for protection and safety and security of the people of God, for the city of God. And in it, in chapter 2, 17 and 18, they said that he said to the leaders of Jerusalem when he got to the city, you see the distress that we are in, they said, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. This is what he said to them, I'm sorry. Nehemiah said to them, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. Again, I told them of the hand of my God, which was had been good upon me, and also the king's words. He told them about how what transpired enabled him to come to Jerusalem. So they said, let us rise up and build.
then they set their hands to this good work.
They set their hands to the work. They had an undying commitment.
They had a commitment of faith. Yes, they had an emotional commitment to accomplish the work. Look at Nehemiah chapter 1, 2 through 4, as he learns about how the city is in decay, it's in ruin. The survivors who are left in the captivity are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates are burned with fire. And so it was, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven.
He had a commitment that drove to the very soul of his being
when he saw the people of God and the city of God in reproach. Just how are we affected? Do we have empathy when a soul is lost or when a soul is struggling? Does it reach us when we see a church that is on the brink or maybe overrun already by the devil? Do we want to do what we can to help it, to rebuild the wall? We see a soul, a Christian who's struggling. Or a relationship in our life is not what it ought to be. Does it hurt us, pain us to our heart? And do we commit ourselves to the work of reviving, of renewing, of strengthening it?
Will we be workers? If not, we begin to make excuses. We become apathetic. We become procrastinators,
and in that we will lose our soul. Paul said, "I to the Ephesians, he said, I taught it publicly from house to house. He said, I did that keeping nothing from you. He said, I served the Lord with all humility, with much tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. He was under threat."
Sorrows, pains, and yet he worked without wavering. Well, he was like Nehemiah and the people of that day. They had a mind to work, chapter 4, 6. A mind to work. With a mind to work, understand our labor is not vain in the Lord. It's not vain. It will accomplish God's purposes. We have to withstand opposition and we work for God. Nehemiah, the story of Nehemiah is a story of withstanding mockeries, reproaches, intimidations, lies, threats, attempted blackmails against Nehemiah and his workers to stop the building, to the threat of military action as well. Enemies of truth will do that to this day. They will despise you. They will try to discourage you. They will try to distract you, just as they did to Nehemiah and the people. But we have a great work, just as they did. Nehemiah 6. Nehemiah said, I'm not going to come down to the plains of Ono and sit down and take counsel with the enemies of God and truth and His Word. We have a great work to do. I will not be deterred. I will not be distracted. We have to have that same mind, brethren. We're going to be workers for God. God wants us to build. He who built all things is God. Hebrews 3 and verse 4. He uses willing workers today to build up His church, to build up each other, to build up our own personal faith. Will we be a part of that work? Will you do that? If so, you're going to need obedient faith. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take submission to God's will to obey Him. It's going to take submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of God, Ephesians 5:20. It's going to take preparing ourselves with the Word of God and committing ourselves to the Word in spite of any opposition or the difficulties that confront us. Because it's not easy to build yourself up in the faith. And it's not easy to build up relationships in Christ. And it's not easy to build up the church to serve one another in our service to God and therefore give honor to God. Satan's active. He wants to destroy the world.
Will you be a worker? Let us all be workers. Let us remember that except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain who build it. But if we will labor diligently and faithfully,
our labor will not be in vain in the Lord. You may need to begin that building project in your life right now by becoming a Christian.
We urge you to do that. In faith, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. He will wash your sins away. He will add you to His church. You become a living stone in the house of God, built upon Christ Jesus. We urge you to obey Him and be saved today, or repent as God's people. As a Christian who has not been a builder, who has delayed and tarried and become apathetic even, repent of the neglect. Be restored to faithfulness in your repentance and confession to God. He's promised full cleansing through the blood of the Son. Won't you come while we stand and sing?